Grace to you all and peace from God in heaven and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Once upon a time, my wife lost her phone. That time was every single day of our marriage. Anytime she tries to leave the house, you're guaranteed to hear this refrain, "Where is my phone?" And after two services of commentary, I can tell you, she does have an Apple Watch. Sometimes if there's no urgent rush and if our relationship is feeling really rock solid and durable, I will find her phone and not tell her. And then put it someplace really obvious that she's already looked. Thank you, choir. Then as she's getting more annoyed and checking more and more ridiculous places, "I would never have put it in the freezer, right?" She did lose it in the refrigerator once. But I'll ask her, sweetly, innocently, you know me, "Did you check the kitchen counter by the charger?" And she'll respond, "Mark, do you really think I'd be racing all over the house if I hadn't checked the charger?" But then, of course, she feels compelled to check the charger. And then in her small, small voice, she says, "Oh, never mind, it's right here." She never thanks me. So I think we can all understand just how annoyed the fishermen might have been with Jesus when he suggests, after their long, futile night on the water, "Hey, did you try putting your nets down in the deep water, you know, where the fish usually are?" Can you imagine? They'd been out all night, dropping the nets, dragging them in, dropping the nets, dragging them in, and coming up empty time after time. And they finally decided to call it quits, haul their boats ashore, and get some much-needed rest. And then Jesus shows up. And by the way, this is not like Easter Jesus at this point. This is early days. He's barely miracles Jesus. He's basically just teaching Jesus at this point. And if you were here last Sunday, you remember how well his first public sermon went. If you missed it, his hometown crowd almost threw him off a cliff. So he doesn't quite have what you'd call Messiah-level clout. Not quite yet. So instead of going home and sleeping off their disappointment, these fishermen are subjected to the fairly cloutless Jesus' request to just anchor offshore for a little bit so he can stand in their boats and address the crowds. That's bothersome. And he follows up, "Hey, why don't you head back out to the deep water? You know, the stuff that's farther away, and put your nets down one more time. Hey, did you check the counter by the charger?" Simon Peter responds to Jesus with much greater civility and restraint than my wife usually employs. "Hey, Jesus, we're pretty tired, and we've been at it for a while. But sure, yeah, since you asked, we'll do it one more time." This is a perfect opportunity and a perfect story for a confession that I hope you'll share with me. When it comes to how we should live, Jesus is, at the very least, annoying. That's not blasphemy. You're allowed to laugh at that. Because if Jesus isn't annoying, you either aren't listening to him or you're assuming he's talking to someone else. "Sell all your possessions and follow me." That's annoying. "Love your neighbor as you love yourself." That is annoying. "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Leave me alone already, Jesus. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And Jesus is the gadfly of all gadflies, challenging us to understand what true righteousness really looks like. We all know what happens next in our story. a massive haul, an absurdly bountiful catch of fish. So many fish that it threatens to sink the boat, and they have to call over a second boat, and it nearly sinks that one too. And somehow, that's even more annoying, right? It's like finding the phone on the counter right where your annoying husband said it would be. By the way, she's working this morning, so we can totally talk about this. She never streams the worship afterwards. This is safe. We're all safe. I am safe. Don't tell her, by the way, if you see her. Don't talk to her about the sermon. But Simon Peter, the first of the disciples to be called in this episode, is not annoyed. He and the others are amazed, astonished, presumably delighted. A catch like this is life-changing. This is food enough for who knows how long, and plenty left over to trade or sell. A good catch versus a bad catch in ancient Israel, that's a life or death matter. And this is life abundant, thanks to Jesus. That's what makes the end of this story so surprising. They just leave. They leave this life-changing bonanza. Abandon it. They toiled so long for this, for exactly this. And all of a sudden, miraculously, they have it. It's the brass ring. And they just drop it. They hop out of their boats and leave and follow Jesus and don't look back, because Jesus told them, follow me and I'll make you fish for people. That is discipleship. That is what it looks like to follow the call of Jesus Christ. And isn't it annoying? Isn't it vexing? Doesn't it make you squirm? Because what would you leave behind? What long-awaited, greatly desired, life-changing thing would you so lightly abandon if Jesus called? Money comes to mind, of course. Would you leave a fortune? A career for which you've strived? What about relationships? At one point, Jesus promotes leaving brothers, sisters, children, parents for his sake. I couldn't do it. How about this? Could you even lay down and leave behind an idea for Jesus? A deeply held conviction, an identity you hold near and dear. Could you do even that? These are hard questions. And if you feel like you might fall short of this standard, you're not alone. In fact, you can come up here and stand with me in the pulpit. This is like a little fort for failures. Because righteousness is hard. Discipleship is hard. So much harder than we often give it credit for. That's what makes grace so sweet. Grace is this. Sometimes you're in the net. Sometimes you're hauling it aboard. Either way, you're in the ship. Even if you're a failure as a disciple, you will be caught in Christ's net. That is the promise. Even if you're hiding down in the deep water, he will not sail home empty-handed. Amen.